Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What I like about this year's WrestleMania, the three people in the main event are borderline psychopaths. You've got one that looks in the mirror and goes, I'm the radar superstar, I'm the radar superstar. You've got another that has to be given a chair to sit in at all times. Daniel Bryan, well, I think he's like got so mad at the other two, he's now running loopy as well. But I tell you, while there was a lot of conversation about it, I am all for this triple threat. It gets me excited deep down in my groin. If you are interested, my name is Simon Miller, and welcome to yet another episode of Ups and Downs, this time focusing on SmackDown. If you can believe it, when we get to next week, it is the go-home period for WrestleMania 37. And it just kind of feels a little bit lackluster. But we can make it exciting by wiggling our hips and getting excited on here instead. So let's take the finger of power and give the good bits an up and the bad bits a down. Is a good promo, isn't he? He makes all these rumors even weirder that our Edge looks old, we can't have an old man on the show. Who gives two flubs what he looks like when he has a microphone? He gets me invested. He was our man to start SmackDown this week though, and he's really not very happy with Daniel Bryan because now he realizes that DB has wormed his way into the WrestleMania main event because Edge was too focused on Roman Reigns. Everything that happened over the last few weeks could have been avoided if Daniel just hadn't have been such an asshat. And clearly Edge likes winding himself up as well, because then he told the production people, put the main event graphic up on the screen, and then he just got mad because of course it features three people. This is like when you break up with someone and you continually search them on social media. Just don't do it. Be kind to your brain. It was a really cool bit though, even though I joked about it earlier when Edge said he did look in the mirror and finally likes what he sees because he is now the rated R superstar once again. I don't know why cheesy lines like that work. They just do. He then turns his attention to Adam Pearce and like, Adam Pearce is such a goof. You're such a moron. And I am massively intrigued to see how real fans, real people react to Edge, because even though he's playing a bad guy, I just think he's got a certain attitude about him. I secretly want him to win. I do think that match is going to be pretty damn good. And then from nowhere, WWE just went, oh, guess what our main event is? It's going to be a street fight between Jey Uso and Daniel Bryan. And look, far be it from me to tell WWE how to do their job. But if you do have things like this that could be considered an attraction, maybe you want to advertise it beforehand. Kayla Braxton was also talking to Edge again in the back, and she asked him about this match. And Edge was like, I don't care. I don't care how much to Daniel Bryan. I don't care if Daniel Bryan dies. And finally, I can have on my one-on-one contest. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, Otis, and Chad Gable then took on the Street Profits and the Mysterios, because of course all four of these teams are going to be having a SmackDown Tag Team title match on SmackDown next week, which is now kind of known as pre-WrestleMania. I don't know. I don't care. All I do know is this was fun. Up. Now, everybody had a promo beforehand when they were making their entrances, apart from Otis and Chad Gable, who did it in the ring. And they finished it by saying, we will win the championships for the Alpha Academy. But when they said it, they pointed up. So I can only presume that the Alpha Academy is located on the moon, right next to Superman's moon base. When we did get going too, this made me feel all warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum because it was all about Ray and Dommy Boy. Like, Daddy was diving onto the ropes onto Ziggler, so Dominic did the same onto Roode. I just had a tear in my eye because I was like, man, these two are family and now they're fighting. I think Montez Ford then felt left out because he dived out the other side of the ring onto Otis. So as always, there was a lot of dives. You could just tell that Angelo Dawkins was also a bit like, excuse me, where's my Finitz of Fame? So he got the tag and he started to run wild. Unfortunately though, he ran into Otis, and Otis is now bad and massive, so he murked him. Nor did Bill to Chad Gable getting out the way of a Montez Ford splash though, and then he hit Ford with a German suplex. Otis came off the second rope with the splash, and the Alpha Academy actually won. And although I had about 3 seconds, I was like, oh, that's good. Then I realized, oh no, this just means they're not gonna win the titles next week. You know how WWE works. However, very entertaining. Paul Heyman then found Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville in the back, and he was like, look, later on, we're having this street fight, and here's what I want you to do. I just want you to sign this agreement that says, no matter what Jey Uso does to Daniel Bryan, there's not going to be any legal ramifications. And Adam Pearce was about to be like, we're not going to sign that, you absolute doofus. But then Sonya Deville piped up, actually, no, we will. We think this is a really good idea. So what is happening there? Also, we shouldn't be protecting Jey Uso from Daniel Bryan. We should be protecting Jey Uso from crazy, crazy Roman Reigns. I watch every episode of SmackDown terrified what's going to happen to Jey, because even if he goes through the wrong door, Roman's going to be like, oh, I can't believe it, and chop off his head. Also, why does Sonya Deville want Jey Uso to kill Daniel Bryan? Yeah, go ahead, murder him. Who gives a hoot? Seth Rollins then came out, and he was dressed like a bruise. Seth Rollins, I don't know who told you to start dressing like this, but I just want to thank you from the bottom of my feet. I think it is tremendous. You look absolutely ridiculous, but in your ridiculousness, you also look flippin' excellent. You're the man. It also meant it was time to focus on Seth Rollins versus Cesaro, which of course is going down at WrestleMania 37. And I'm just into this because I can't wait for the match. Corey Graves was hosting an interview between the two, and yes, as I keep saying, if you can believe it, this is Cesaro's first ever match at WrestleMania, or should I say a first ever singles match, and I don't understand how that's possible. However, it is tying into the story, because now Cesaro is like, well, I've got to win this, I can't wait this long, get my one-on-one contest, and then lose, it will make me, obviously, a loser. Rollins countered this by saying that he's had loads of one-on-one matches at WrestleMania, and then went through all the people that he's beaten and how he's a WrestleMania staple, and then, of course, had to drop in there, and because of all this, I'm unshakable. And the only reason he did do that is so that Cesaro could go, yeah, but you're not unswingable, and these words are like death to Seth Rollins' ears, and he just starts freaking out. He really doesn't like to be swung. So he got all mad and he got all in the Swiss Superman's face before backing off. And like I say, this is all just an afterthought to me because the match itself is going to be fire. And given that it is probably going to be fire, Seth Rollins may even come out dressed as flames. I really hope I've just realized he has some kind of special WrestleMania suit. Then just finally remembered that Carmella used to be teamed up with Reginald, because Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, and Reggie were walking backstage when they saw Carmella, and Reginald whispered something to Nia Jax, and she just went, well, you didn't treat him very nicely, did you? And then they walked off, and Carmella kind of had this face, and I was like, yeah, I don't blame you, Carmella. That's exactly how I feel too. This was the setup for Natalia versus Shayna Baszler too, and honestly, what the flub is going on with the women's tag team division? It makes absolutely no sense. It's like it's booked. Remember that game you used to play? You got a piece of paper and somebody wrote one line of the story, you fold it over and then you pass it to somebody else. They write another line of the story and then when it goes round the table, you read it and you just have all these bizarre stories connected together. That is the women's tag team division. Down. I mean, honestly, it couldn't have gone more than 35 seconds. And Nia Jax was on commentary and the camera was more interested in what she was going to say. And then back in the ring, Natalia just hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up, and she won. It was the most nothing fight you've ever seen in your life. And I suppose the justification was that next week or whenever the hell it's going to go down, Natalia and, oh, there's Tamina, nobody Mina, are going to go after the titles. But then it got even more insane. Because these four guys were brawling when all of a sudden the Riot Squad got involved. You're like, where the hell have the Riot Squad been? And then, just in case your mind wasn't about to blow up, Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose and Lana and Naomi were also here. And it was like, wait a minute, you're Raw superstars. Who let you in the building? I've been told time and time again this is against the rules. So I started pulling my non-existent hair out and it finished with Natalia and Tamina. Oh, don't forget there's no one Mina standing tall. But this is just so rushed and it's so, like, fit into a tiny box. Why aren't they allowed more time? And also, why the hell isn't Bayley in some kind of match at WrestleMania? Bayley was the MVP, basically, in 2020, and now she can't get on the show of shows?
I'm going to have to go lay down.
The only highlight is that afterwards, Billie Kay found Carmella, who had been watching this match on a TV screen, again arching her neck like she wanted her head to fall off, and she gave her her resume, and I actually think Carmella was interested in this, and if it gets Billie Kay back on my television set, I will be all right with this. Sami Zayn was then welcoming Logan Paul to SmackDown, and I couldn't help but say out loud, what world are we living in? Imagine when Sami Zayn was being El Generico, maybe, in Ring of Honor or whatever, and I said, oh, one day he's going to team up with a massively popular social media YouTube star. Everyone would have gone, that's Simon Miller, man. He's a little bit weird. The Thunderdome also piped in cheers when Mr. Paul arrived, and I don't want to be that guy, but I would presume, as we'll find out at WrestleMania, if there were actual fans, he may get a little bit of a different response. I do get it though, he's got a massive fan base and he may actually bring more eyes onto the show. And all this was leading to the red carpet premiere of the Sami Zayn conspiracy documentary trailer. And honestly, I think we can now safely say that you can ask Sami Zayn to do anything and he will make it work. This man is terrific, this man is great, this man is just enjoyable, and all this getting up. Sami just bigged up his project before introducing Logan Paul, and all you need to do if you don't want to watch any other wrestling this week is go and watch Sami Zayn's dance to when Logan Paul was coming to the ring. I was completely content when this was happening. It was just so damn good. They're both super happy to be here, and fair play to Logan Paul. He played his role very well. And Sami Zayn invited him to WrestleMania, and Paul said, absolutely, that sounds great. Sami then rolled the trailer, and again, I can't do this justice. There is no point me trying to recount it. Go onto YouTube or the network, wherever the hell it will be, and make sure you see it. I mean, it started by saying, we're rated T for truth. Sami Zayn, you are the man. Paul also felt like it was a good trailer, but wanted to make it clear that earlier he had bumped into Kevin Owens, and Owens had told him, look, I've known Sami Zayn for years. He's an absolute crazy person. He's always going on about these conspiracies. You should probably ignore him. Zayn didn't care about any of that and started to get worked up. Was just like, look, Logan, what do you think of the thing? And all Paul could offer back was, well, I can tell you've put a lot of work into it. At that very moment, though, Kevin Owens popped up from nowhere and gave Sami Zayn a stunner while screaming, dude, I'm going to keep doing to this. If I have to beat some sense into you, that's what I'll do. But when he left, he kind of barged into Logan Paul. And Logan Paul didn't look very happy about this. So something is absolutely going down at WrestleMania. But I don't care about any of that. As long as WWE allowed Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to have the kind of match I know they can have, you can do whatever the hell you want with Logan Paul. And if it makes bigger stars out of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, well, that's just another tick. I love this feud. Back in the back, Edge then told Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce, I know you've made this match later, but I'm going to be on co-commentary, so you better deal with it. And it's like, all right, Edge, nobody said that you couldn't. You just need to calm down and you just need to get things back in perspective. We also had a quick interview with Kevin Owens, but before he could say anything, Sami Zayn jumped him and gave him a proper beating. And like I say, I was enjoying all of this, the history that these two have, and now they get to have a match on WrestleMania. It's just how life should be. Bianca Belair then beat Carmella. Yeah, I don't know either, you tell me. However, at least it was a victory for the Royal Rumble winner, so we can have it up. We also had an interview with Bianca beforehand, who said she knew eventually the real Sasha Banks would arrive, and here she is. And also that the reason she wants to beat up Carmella is that Carmella is responsible for Reginald, and therefore she deserves it. I was like, I'm pretty sure Reginald is his own person. I'm also pretty sure Carmella told him to go away. So yeah, none of this was exactly the best storytelling ever. What are you going to do? Carmella jumped Bianca Belair before the match to make you think that she may win, but thankfully she didn't. Although there was this cool spot where Carmella took Bianca's hair and she tied it round the bottom rope and then started to kick her ass. It didn't really do much though, because Bianca eventually got back to her feet, hit Carmella with a massive clothesline, and then finished her off with a KOD for the 1-2-3. And now you're probably thinking, oh man, I bet something awesome then happened with Sasha Banks. And yeah, like, I think that was the plan. But in execution, it was a swing and a miss. Because Banks tried to jump Bianca. Bianca realized this, turned around, they stared at each other, they pointed at the WrestleMania sign for a while, and that was it. Look, all of this is fine to a certain point, but you have two incredible wrestlers here that you could be doing a whole Stone Cold Steve Austin Rock build with. It's like, I'm better than you, no, I'm better than you, I need this, I need this. But now, they just looking at each other. It really is strange. None of this is getting any time. It really does deserve more time.
And because of that, well, we got to give it a down.
Baron Corbin then told us the reason he did everything he did do on Monday night is because he has accepted Bobby Lashley's bounty, and what he wants to do is have a match with Drew McIntyre on next week's Raw, which is already in the books, that's happening. And when he wins, he can then have the world title match at WrestleMania 37. Now, we all know that's not going to happen. This is another reason why it's so disappointing. I think Baron Corbin has done enough to have a singles match on WrestleMania 37. I mean, at one point, he was clearly going to be in a feud with Sami Zayn,
but we just forgot about that one, didn't we?
We also had a chat with Apollo Crews, who has told us that at WrestleMania, he wants to have his rematch against Big E for the Intercontinental Championship, but he wants the stipulation to be a Nigerian drum fight. So for a split second, I thought they were just gonna have a drum off, and I thought, you know, WWE probably would do something like that at WrestleMania. But instead, it's some kind of Nigerian heritage thing where you would beat your enemies and you would make their heads sound like drums. Now again, look, I don't know who's coming up with these ideas, but it is Apollo Crews, then that's all that matters. He should be able to have some say into his own creative. And look, this character has made him far more interesting. And also, the real reason they called it a Nigerian drum fight, well, I will reveal it to you in around about 25 seconds. Also, just as a quick aside, all I want is an awesome match between Big E and Apollo Crews on the grandest stage of them all, because they're both so flipping good, and like other people I've already talked about, they deserve it. Also had a quick moment between Edge and Paul Heyman before Edge came out to do commentary, where Paul Heyman was trying to get into his head, but Edge kind of blew him off. But I think there's something brewing here. If we get to WrestleMania and Roman Reigns and Edge are kind of in cahoots for a little bit, I won't be surprised. Our main event was then Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso, and yes, it was here when I went, well, of course that's why they're calling it a Nigerian drum fight. It's because they're doing yet another street fight on TV, and they want to try and pretend that they're not going to do another one at WrestleMania, even though the rules and stipulations are exactly the same. So they're just trying to find ways to repackage them and make you go, oh, that sounds really interesting. And even though it was Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso, I spend the whole time worrying about Jey, because I think if he loses, I don't know what's going to happen to him, so I've somehow been manipulated as well. These guys just absolutely killed each other too, given it was just happening on a random episode of SmackDown, and the whole story here is that Daniel Bryan is super aggressive now because he knows what he's up against. And of course, at one point he was around the commentary table, so he just stared at Edge, because that's just what you gotta do. Jey Uso did the same thing as well, because it just got into everybody's minds, and then they just got chairs and who knows what else, and started to wallop the absolute hell out of each other. And I became Daniel Bryan's dad during this. I was like, oh man, he's got a bad head, he's got a bad brain, what are we doing? I think at one point Jey Uso even put the chair around Bryan's leg and was then going to splash onto that thing, which can't have been a good idea. But of course he went for it and he missed. If you were really quiet, you could just hear Roman Reigns in the back going, stupid cousin, he can't do anything. So of course, out came our tribal chief. And do you know who was behind him? Paul Heyman. And do you know what Paul Heyman had in his hands? A chair. I was laughing so much, Roman Reigns gets better every week. Uso and Bryan then just continued to slam each other around the place with stairs, chairs, and whatever else they could find. And then at one point, Jey Uso just had a chain, because why the hell not? They both tried to smack each other in the face with it, but basically ended with Daniel Bryan using the chain the best and also applying the yes lock, meaning Jey Uso had to tap out and take another 15 years off his own life. Daniel Bryan was clearly amped after this though, because he went right after Edge, including taking his face and just smacking it into the ring post. And then when he went after Roman Reigns, Roman tried to chuck the chair at him, but Daniel Bryan used force powers to get out of the way. He then hit Roman with the running knee, and he got him in the yes lock too. And honestly, Reigns was selling this like his head was about to come off. Go and look at some of the snaps that WWE took. He's all like, I can't believe it. Which did mean that SmackDown ended with Daniel Bryan standing tall. So this all makes you feel as well like he's in control when it comes to WrestleMania. And now I do have this tiny part deep down in my stomach. I was like, maybe he's going to win, even though I also don't think he's going to win. However, I will say this. Last week, Edge was standing tall. This week, Daniel Bryan is standing tall, which means next week's Roman Reigns standing tall, which also means going into WrestleMania, you can kind of say they're at 33.3%, 33.3%, 33.3%. And that's what we should be doing. Honestly, inserting Daniel Bryan into this is the best thing they could have done, and it's getting it up. Which means, yes, we only have one more Raw and one more SmackDown before we get to WrestleMania 37, and I did think overall, as always with SmackDown, it was a pretty damn good show. I just don't know what the hell we're doing or what the plan is with the women's division. It feels so last minute, but even with that, it's getting it up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.